Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about 58 minutes today. This is a show that's near and dear to my heart because it's service to veterans who often are forgotten. They don't have visible wounds. It's a group of people who have come together to do a beautiful thing. And we're going to talk about it today with Jack Chamberlain. Jack is part of the Vet Dogs group, America's Vet Dogs. People who come together to raise dogs to be worked, I call them working dogs, for veterans who need just a companion sometimes. PTSD, I had a slight part of it years ago. Mine was more, they told me they acquired it to, aligned it to survivor guilt, but it is what it is. Fortunately, most of you know I'm not normal, but I'm pretty close. But I want to introduce Jack. Thank you for coming on about this. This is, as I said, this is near and dear to my heart because we're still experiencing, 21, 22, 23 suicides a day.
Bill, first of all, I want to thank you and any veteran that's listening because you are the reason that we're motivated to volunteer with this organization. And I think what I appreciate so much about this nonprofit, you know, you see those bumper stickers on people's cars, support our troops, support our veterans. That's a great thing. Yeah. It raises awareness. But if you're looking for an organization that has a direct impact on the lives of thousands of U.S. veterans, that's America's Vet Dogs. And their entire mission is to allow veterans who return with either mental or physical disabilities to be able to live life like they used to live a life without boundaries and to live a life with dignity and independence. So that's the whole driver behind this group. And you are the reason that we do this. So I want to thank you and every veteran that's listening for your service. And that's why we do this cause, because they have a tremendous impact. And we want to make sure that they have the money to continue pursuing that mission.
Well, Jack, I will tell you, I applaud all of you who are behind this. A couple of very quick stories. A very good friend of mine had really bad, bad PTSD, and he got a dog. And the dog could sense when he was going to perhaps have an episode. And the dog would just come over and get right next to his leg, so he could pet the dog.
Yep.
I saw it two or three times, and as you can tell, it affects me.
Yeah. And it's you know, Bill, I think what's so incredible about it, you know, and a physical disability is one thing.
Exactly.
Because when you're out in public, people can see, you know, you have a prosthetic leg or you know, a prosthetic limb. PTSD is such a challenge because it's not visible. You can't see it. And for veterans who have PTSD, who are graduates of the Vet Dogs program, who get a service dog, the one thing they'll tell you is that before they received the dog, they were terrified to go out in public. They were terrified of being in crowds. And, you know, whether it was loud noises or big groups or just the attention being on them. They couldn't take it. Now, instead of being the veteran that has the disability, now they're the veteran with the cool dog, and everyone looks at the dog.
Everybody,
the veteran,
exactly.
It's easy for them. You know, it just makes a huge difference.
I love the piece too because I have familiarity with this, the prison puppy program. You know, just to go aside for a minute so I gain my composure here. I've worked in prisons where they have trained the puppies, and it's a double-edged sword, actually. Actually, it's a double-edged spatula because the dog gets trained to go to work with somebody, but the inmate gets trained also to deal with the dog. And I have to tell you, more inmates have, somebody ought to do a study one day, that have gotten out and we've never seen them again. But they have a dog. So this whole concept, Jack, of marrying up and training, and it's, to me, it's a bunch of people who've come together to help. And the help, like you said, when somebody has a prosthetic leg or arm or visible scars, wounds, that's one thing. But boy, when you see people, and there's a lot of them, even now, coming home, they don't have the structure of the military anymore. And I've read a lot about PTSD, but I want to get to the main point too, because we'll say this several times, so don't go crazy and crash your car or whatever. Because it's a morning show, people are in and out. So Friday, October 18th, we will be hosting our sixth annual fundraiser at the Agawam Polish Club to benefit America's vet dogs. Our event consists of a barbecue, buffet, trivia, music, 50-50 raffle, prizes donated by local businesses and guest speakers. We also have puppies in training. Oh, I got to get there. And, from America Vet Dog, as well as local veterans and their service dogs. I am going to go over that again, folks, so don't go crazy. It's Friday, and if you can go, go. Right now, the Polish princess is recovering from replacement knee surgery, but she should be ready to go by October 18th.
And I hear there's a rumor, Bill, that she's receiving excellent care from a pro bono nurse.
Yeah, you got that right. This pro bono nurse passed out last night at about 9 o'clock. Never woke up till 5:30. Jack, and if people can't go, how can they help? Because a lot of people can't, but they'd love to help.
Yeah, and they can still donate, Bill, and that's the thing, you know, is it's a great, the event is a great way for people to see the impact, because right. You have the puppies that are 3-4 months old, and then you have the vets that have had their service dogs for, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, and they'll talk about how the dog has changed their lives. They'll do a demonstration about, you know, what the dog is trained to do and how they help them with their day-to-day activities. But if you can't come and you can't see that, you can still go online to donate. Our website is asalutetosoldiers.com. We're also on Facebook at A Salute to Soldiers. And there's information on there on how to donate. If you want to make an online donation, you can also mail a check. You know, and it's last year we raised more money than I think we expected. You know, the first years we did well, you know, between 5 and 10,000. And last year we shot up and we took in, I think, $22,000 or $23,000. And so we were able to sponsor 3 service dogs, which was fantastic. Yeah. Obviously now the pressure's on, because we've got to hit that. We've got to hit that $20,000 mark. Yeah. Again. So any donation that anyone can make is it makes a huge difference. And our paper here in Springfield, the Republican, they just did a story actually about our event in the fundraiser, and they spoke to a veteran by the name of Jim Grandchamp, who's in South Hadley. And if anyone wants to know why they should donate or the impact that their donation will have, they should find that story and listen to what Jim has to say, because it completely transformed his life. He was a U.S. Marine. And this service dog has had a tremendous impact on his life.
I know a fellow that the same, he had he just never, it took him a long time to recover from Vietnam. And, but he, you know, his family stuck by him, and somehow, some way they got a dog. Mm-hmm. And he's now a father, a grandfather, productive guy. And so these dogs do work. I mean, it's proven. all over these specially trained, and I want to go into that with you. This is quite the training process for the dog and the handler. That is a big part of your program.
It is. And that's what I think sets them apart, Bill, because there are organizations that take in, you know, they either train a veteran's own dog or they may get a stray and they train the stray, which I think is a great thing. But those are more comfort dogs than they are necessarily service dogs. And there is a distinction there. And just for to understand how long they've been doing this, their history goes back to World War II. Wow. When the Guide Dog Foundation was founded.
Right, yes.
And they realized that there was a need for veterans who are returning home because they were exposed to toxic substances, which I know you're very familiar with. And for a lot of them, it was visual impairments that they were dealing with. And so that's why Guide Dogs was founded. And so they've been breeding these dogs since the mid to late 40s. And then later on, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, they identified this need for service dogs because, and this is a statistic I always reference because it just boggles my mind, less than one half of 1% of the American population serves in the U.S. military. Yeah. And so if you're being deployed, there is a much greater chance that you're going to be put in a combat situation. And that means when you come home, you're going to have some challenges.
Yeah.
And so that's why Vet Dogs was founded, because there were service members coming home, not necessarily with visual impairments, but maybe a physical disability or a mental disability like PTSD. And so Service Dogs was founded in 2003 as a sister organization to Guide Dogs. And then in 2006, they became their own separate 501c3 nonprofit. And they've been doing this work ever since.
And I think what makes your organization unique, if I may, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, but you're focused on veterans PTSD.
That's right. That's right.
Because I know a lot of people have been in car accidents. I know I worked with violent youthful offenders who are suffering from PTSD, from childhood trauma. But, and I don't mean to wave a flag or anything, but veterans, their PTSD is very unique in most cases. Because, you know, you're 19 years old, you're seeing things and doing things, you never thought you'd do. And then all of a sudden you're home sitting at the kitchen table. I'm thinking about myself. You're home sitting at the kitchen table going, wow, what's going on? What's still going on? You know? And I think, again, anything you can do, it doesn't have to be a big check. It can be whatever you can afford. But when you see a vet and say, thank you for your service, this is really saying thank you for your service.
Yeah, that is so true, Bill. And I don't want, you know, it's people mean it, but sometimes you just almost feel obligated to say it, you know, and people, you know, what else can you say but thank you? Well, I mean, you can donate to a cause like this. And you know, you talked about the PTSD trained dogs. And you told the story about the vet that you knew, and the dog would come over, rest his head, on the leg, and he'd pat him and he'd calm him down. They're trained in that. They're trained in nightmare disruption. The first dog, so my family got involved. We were weekend puppy raisers, which meant we got the dog on the weekend, and we had the fun job, really. We brought the dog to restaurants. You bring the dogs to, you know, grocery stores, the bank, just to get them used to being in public. And the first dog that we had went to a veteran in the South. And so, you know, unfortunately, we didn't stay in you know, that great of contact with him because he wasn't local. But he wrote us a letter maybe 6 months after the graduation. He said, you know, I want to thank you because prior to receiving Disco, that was the name of the yellow lab, prior to receiving him, I mean, I tried every possible medication to treat
Yeah.
my PTSD. And I would be lucky if I slept 2, 3 hours a night
Yeah.
because the
Yeah.
nightmares were so bad. And he said,
Sure.
I've had this dog for 6 months and I couldn't tell you the last time I had a nightmare.
Yeah.
And that is, again, when we talk about allowing them to live a life similar to what they lived prior to their deployment, that's their mission. And you talk to any veteran who's gone through this program, that's their experience.
And it goes to also, I have to, ABT placed 112 assistance dogs, including 51 service dogs and 43 PTS. So they are covering the whole gamut of veterans' issues. Again, I have the guy that runs the senior center here in Pittsfield, Jim Clark. He's a West Point graduate, retired from the military. I can't join because he said I'm too young. But it's the point I want to get over to people is the military isn't a job. The military is a way of life. And there's structure and there's camaraderie and there's in war zone, there's camaraderie like you'll never see anywhere else. I mean, but that said, when some of us, and I include myself, get out, that kind of falls apart, and you're all by yourself, and none of your friends. I give my own. I was the only one to go to Vietnam in my group, and so that said. When I was reading this information, I was so committed to this organization. I've even approached the Polish princess to let me write a check. Still in negotiations, but once she hears it's hit the Polish club in Agawam, we'll be there full
Hook,
speed.
line, and sinker right
Yeah,
there.
come on.
But I will say, Bill, though, just because you talk about, making donations, and it just, reminds me, for vet dogs, they provide their services at no cost, which is huge,
Yes,
because a
good
lot of
point.
veterans that hear about this, they think, I can't afford a dog, it's specially trained, it must be expensive, and then there's all these costs afterwards. It is 50,000. It costs $50,000
Yeah.
to breed, raise, train, and place just one dog,
Yep.
and the veteran pays nothing.
Not
The
a
only thing they have to pay for is when they fly down to their foundation on Long Island, and they stay there for 2 weeks. The only thing they have to pay for is their transportation there. They're put up on their campus in New York. They've created like a small city just to kind of, get
Yeah,
them
yeah.
used to using the dog in a public setting. And the only thing they have to pay for is their trip. Their meals are all taken care of while they're there. There's a private chef on campus who cooks all their meals. Housing is provided. So as long as you can get there,
Right.
you've got this dog.
As you step back and I've read this and it, to me. Again, going back to people who are in real need, because I if you've ever been an inability to sleep at night or wake up 3 or 4 times at night, then you'll understand what so many of them have gone through. I mean, and still are going through it. And I want to read it's happening. On Friday, which is a great time too in the summer, Friday, October 18th, they will be hosting the sixth annual fundraiser at the Agawam Polish Club to benefit America's vet dogs. Our event consists of, this will get me there, barbecue buffet. Trivia, music, 50-50 raffle prizes. Did I get the Polish princess there? Donated by local businesses, guest speakers. We also will have puppies from the American, as well as local veterans and their service dogs. Would be a great educational thing for teenagers.
Yes.
Just come and see. You know, I especially, not Jack, because I got socks older than he is. I'm wearing them. This is the next generation, and I am very, very worried about patriotism. And so anything you can do to teach a child about patriotism, all of the people getting these dogs have paid a significant price.
Yeah. And Bill, I mean, the men and women that come and you know, they start by talking about their service,
right?
Why they enlisted. And it's supposed to be that mutual agreement, which is you go and serve for your country.
We'll take care of you.
We're going to take care of you when you come back. That's what it's supposed to be. And, you know, the VA, and, you know, we all have mixed feelings about the VA, and it certainly is the job of the federal government to, you know, support and improve and expand benefits to our veteran population. But at the same time, it's often these, you know, organizations, these local organizations that are really having an impact on our local veteran community.
Absolutely. The Elks here in Pittsfield, the Elks, the first Monday of every month has a luncheon for veterans.
Yeah, this morning, same thing together. In Holyoke, same thing.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, folks, as much as we don't like to talk about the outcomes of war, and we're in a couple of wars right now, and there is a price to be paid, is the old saying, freedom is not free. Mm-hmm. And what you'll meet if you go on Friday, October 18th, at what time does it start, Jack? That's the only thing missing.
Yeah, 5 o'clock. So doors open at 5, and then dinner will be served at 6. And then shortly after that, we'll have some guest speakers. We'll have, like I said, you know, veterans with their service dogs. We'll talk about their service, the impact that the program's had on them. And then we usually have someone from Vet Dogs who's a trainer. And you had mentioned this, Bill, the prison puppy program that they have. And that's really our area's connection to this program, is that there are correctional facilities in Connecticut and Massachusetts that participate in this program. And so, you know, my family, we were weekend puppy raisers, and so we got the dogs on the weekends. And we would always joke on Sunday and say, all right, we'll bring the dog back to jail.
Yeah.
5 days a week, the dogs were with inmates. But it's such a great program, and you alluded to this earlier because of you're so familiar with it. It's such a great program, one, because it benefits the organization because they have a group of individuals who can commit their time to working with the dog and training the dog. So it's great for them. It's great for the veterans because they get these dogs who are specially trained in a number of tasks that ordinary comfort dogs just aren't trained to handle.
Right.
But then it's also a win for the inmates. And you alluded to this, Bill.
Yes.
If you look at the numbers for inmates that participate in this program, the difference in recidivism rates between these individuals and others are dramatically lower. I mean, drastically lower. It's mind-boggling. And if you talk to them, they'll tell you that, you know, I'm here, I have to serve my time, and at times it can be constraining. And this is a way for them to give back to the community that they feel they have wronged while they're serving their time.
Yeah.
And it's also good for them because we've seen, you know, I know for Connecticut, for example, their State Department of Labor will give them a work certificate and say, if you work so many hours in this program, we'll give you a certificate. So when you're released, you have this certificate that you can show prospective employers and say, hey, you know, I had to meet certain criteria to, one, stay in this program, but two, I had to work so many hours to receive this certificate. And that's huge for them.
Yeah, and I also just thinking back. I mean, this guy was a mountain. I mean, he was huge, and had kind of a violent past, should we say? That's why he was training dogs in a penitentiary. But the bond he made with this dog, through all the training, and when the dog it came time to part, this guy sobbed like a baby. And I can't say for sure, but I'm pretty sure he was eligible. I know he was eligible for parole very soon, but I don't think he ever came back. But to watch this, I mean, I knew him when he first came in, and but then he. One of our counselors said, he's had a rough life. Try marrying him up with the dog puppy program. And we did. And it changed his life.
And it's I think it's a funny program on the surface because you think to yourself, training with inmates, but it's good for the inmates as we just described. But for the vet dogs organization, it takes a long time for these dogs to learn the tasks that they're
Oh,
trained.
yes.
I mean, they open doors, they retrieve objects by name. You're at the grocery store and you're in a wheelchair. They're trained to give credit cards and cash to the cashier. It takes a while for them to learn that. And so having a group that can commit 100% of their time to this dog really helps move things along because they go through their basic training, which takes about a year. They do that in a correctional facility, and then they go back down to the foundation for what's called formal training. So by the time they're about a year and a half, 2 years old, they can be paired with their veteran. And the demand is so high, Bill. I mean, they have, as of last year, I think north of 1,800 pending applications from veterans that want to receive a service dog. And so that's why funding is so huge, because that's what's going to allow them to invest in more dogs for these veterans. And 40% of their revenue are individual donations, 40%. And so that's why it's so important that we have events like this.
And again, I think part of the whole thing with this is, there's a lot of folks out there that are patriotic. They've never served for a lot of reasons, okay? But for those that have served and now need additional help over and above what the VA provides, what society provides, you can help. And you can make put you can put teeth into when you say thank you for your service. When you make the check out, you can put in a memo line, thank you for your service, because that will be read by a bunch of folks and it will be relayed to the veterans. And that's I think it's been, you'll see it on Wounded Warrior and all those that it's being, I think, even go. I go to Leeds, Northampton for P Pittsfield people. I don't know where Leeds, but it's the thought of being forgotten when you see the old guys there, and they paid a some of them have paid a horrific price, and to just again, if you got a couple bucks. Pass up on your Starbucks today and you can send a check or you can make a contribution online. We're going to give you all that again. Again, before we go to break, I just want to say Friday, October 18th, commencing at 5 o'clock, the Polish Agawam Polish Club, they're going to be sponsoring it. There's going to be food and there's going to be puppies and there's going to be all kinds of things to go and see it. And become part of it. Everybody wants to be part of something. Think about this. You being part of this through your donations, through your support, you can change a person's life tremendously. Tremendously. We got to take a break. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial, simulcasting on PCTV. Jack, you got to help me with this. Is this flag in the right direction?
It is. It is.
Okay, because sometimes I get...
It gets flipped.
Yeah, so do I. All I'm asking you is, I know a lot of people have a lot of anger and a lot of this and a lot of that. All I'm asking is, I have several friends and many, many acquaintances and a lot of other people who are buried under a flag like this for their service. So all I'm asking you is, don't desecrate it. You don't have to love it. You don't have to, you know, preach it. But please, please don't desecrate it. Think of them. Somebody a long time ago signed on the dotted line that they were going to give their life for this flag. If you don't believe me, go through the cemetery and see how many of these flags are waving. We'll be right back. I'm here with Jack Chamberlain. Please stay tuned. This is one of my, this is a personal show to me. So please stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sondrini.com. And from Park Square Productions. Park Square Productions provides high-quality video and audio productions for businesses and nonprofit organizations throughout the Berkshires. Find more information about Park Square Productions and what they can do for you at ParkSquareProductions.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM. Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. Hey, today, what a great show. We're finding out how you can help veterans. You know, thank you, I am a veteran, and it means a lot when you see, when someone says, and I have my hat on or whatever, thank you for your, it does mean a lot. It really does, because especially Vietnam, when we came home, guys and gals, nobody was thanking us for our service. Most of them were spitting on us. So there you go. But today's my show is, I'm just so happy I was asked to do this. It's America's Vet Dogs. And it's an organization that's formed to breed, train, and a lot dogs to veterans from all kinds of issues. And Jack can go into that. Oh, and this good-looking guy here? Yeah, the guy with hair?
Yeah.
His name is Jack Chamberlain, and he's part of this organization. Just to let you know, to breed one dog, $50,000. Breed and train. So, Jack, tell us a variety of things. That, $50,000 to breed, raise, train, and place a service dog. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and Bill, that's why we do this event, because
yes,
they provide all of their services to veterans at no cost. As I mentioned earlier in the show, the only thing a veteran has to pay for is their transportation to the foundation where they are put up in housing, their meals are provided, and for 2 weeks they learn how to use this dog that they've been gifted and how to take advantage of all the skills that it's been trained to perform. And you know, nightmare disruption, you know, for veterans who may have, you know, back problems or arthritis, you know, stabilizing when they get up out of a chair, retrieving objects, opening doors, you name it. And that's why it's so expensive, because there's so many resources that go into raising one dog. But they also cover expenses afterwards. So, for example, I know a veteran who is local here in West Springfield, and he received a service dog through Vet Dogs. And I think the dog was maybe about 6 or 7 years old, and it needed hip surgery. And he called down to the foundation, and they said, all right, we'll arrange for the dog to come down here. They perform the operation. They do rehab at the foundation, and they say, come down and get your dog. You know, he's all set. The surgery was successful.
Oh, wow.
He's rehabbed. So you don't even have to worry about that, which is huge, because I think on the surface, not really looking into the program, there are usually two things that deter a veteran from applying. And that's one, they think, oh, I don't need a service dog. You know, there are veterans who are far worse off than I am. I don't need one.
Yep.
And number two, it's the cost. And Vet Dogs does an exceptional job of making sure that it's not a financial burden for the veteran to have this service dog.
And you know, I do want to just touch back, if I may, what you just said. You know, there's so many of us, and I'll put myself in there, there's so many of us who were hesitant to ask for help, to go to the VA.
That's right.
And what it's nothing to do with courage and manliness and all that. It's to do with your health. You know, and I have to really thank the current VA. It when we came back from Vietnam, it was not a pleasant experience. Now they are outstanding. Our VA in Leeds and my personal VA here in Pittsfield in the clinic, some of the best healthcare you can get anywhere. And I mean that sincerely. And I attribute a lot of people, Eddie Boland, the place is named after, the Congressman Richard Neal, when he was in, Teddy Kennedy, when he was here, Sil Conti, a whole lot of people brought it up to the standard that it is. So, but if you're out there, don't be hesitant. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Really and truly. But we got an event coming up where you can show, really demonstrate you want to help. And that's Friday, October 18th. They will be at the Polish, Agawam Polish Club at 5 o'clock, doors open. And then I'll be there probably with a, well, I bring, I usually bring Tupperware to a buffet. Because what I can't eat there, I bring home. I'm retired now. Things are tough. They're going to have a barbecue buffet, trivia, music, 50-50, raffle, prize donation by local businesses, guest speakers. They're also going to have puppies in training. There's a reason to go just for that. The rest of it you can have anyway. Go and see the puppies in training. Because the changes that it makes in a veteran's life, it's so true. And I had a friend, he wasn't a veteran, but he was dog was trained by the blind. He was blind. And that dog, and veterans dogs do the same. Jack just reminded me of it. He would drop something, a dog would go over, pick it up and bring it back to him. And that's the kind of help these service dogs have and give.
And I'll say this, Bill, because you're just reminding me of this, you know. I've been asked recently, you know, one, how you got involved, but then two, why have you done it for so long? Because we started as weekend puppy raisers probably 9, 10 years ago now. We've been doing this
wow,
fundraiser
you're,
since
yo, you're
2018.
vested.
And they said, why do you stick with it? And it's the stories that you hear, one from that veteran that I mentioned earlier, whose nightmares completely stopped once he received the dog. But the other thing is, you know, when you are either a weekend puppy raiser or a financial sponsor for a puppy, you have the opportunity to go down to the foundation when the dog graduates and is paired with a veteran.
Wow.
You get to attend the graduation ceremony. You meet the veteran that the dog is going to be paired with.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, you're in a room with 12 to 15 pretty tough men and women who have seen a lot. And, you know, a lot of them can be a bit stoic in the moment. And then they put on the video screen. They put on a clip that kind of outlines the veteran's journey while they're at the foundation, which includes the moment that they meet the dog for the first time. And all of a sudden you look around the room and you're seeing Army vets, Marine vets, Navy vets, Air Force, and they're all getting emotional.
Oh,
yeah. Realizing that moment right there is the moment that my life has changed forever.
Well, it as you found out earlier in the show, as we started to talk about this, I got a little emotional because I envision guys, that's the only guys that have these dogs, and how it's changed their lives. I mean, they wouldn't go out. They didn't want. Honestly, some of them began to drink too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I can think of one who, since he's had the dog, probably a month or since after he got the dog, hadn't had a drink in years.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it.
Nope.
It was a cathartic, you know.
You mentioned earlier, Bill, you know, you said that there are veterans who unfortunately don't make it home.
Right.
But there are veterans that do come home and who later die because of PTSD, and they resort to drinking or substance abuse or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So for the sake of those that didn't make it home, the least we can do is support a program like this that's making sure that the veterans that do make it home don't resort to those bad habits that are going to completely ruin their life, because it's too important. It's too important not to address, to not want to care about. And that's why we keep doing this, you know, and we don't have any plan on stopping, we've sponsored 6 service dogs to date, and we want that number to keep going up.
And I'm going to pledge to you, and I will do anything I can to help this organization. And I'm going to put up the blurb on my Facebook about the get together. On October 18th at 5 o'clock at the Agawam Polish Club, buffet, prizes, raffles, games. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, if you have preteen and teenage kiddos, bring them. You know, I say this a lot, and some people like to send me hate mail after, but I'm used to it. Patriotism is a learned trait. My father was a firefighter. We have the 4th of July parade here. We used to have the firemen's muster. All of it was run by the... My mother would take us kids, and we would walk down and stand and watch the 4th of July parade, the Veterans Day parade, the Memorial Day parade. And it was a flag in our front yard all the time. And I'm afraid some of that has been lost, diluted, whatever. If you really want to thank a vet, and I know you do, I when somebody says thank you to me, it touches my heart, and I appreciate it. But this is a way that you can not only thank a vet, you can help a vet. There's two things. Thanking is one thing. Helping is another. And you can help by your donation. And Jack will tell you how, a couple of ways you can donate. Because I don't want to mess it up. Jack.
And Bill, I will say this, you know, and someone made a joke when they asked me the other day how much tickets are. Tickets are only $20. And right. Keep it low because we want people to be able to come and, yeah, of course, enjoy their night, but also have an opportunity to meet the folks that are benefiting from this organization. And so it's only $20 for a ticket. If you can't join us, you can still donate online. Right. Our website for the fundraiser is asalutetosoldiers.com. We are on Facebook at A Salute to Soldiers. And if anyone wants to learn more about the organization, America's Vet Dogs, we have information on our website and our Facebook as well. But you can also go to their website, which is vetdogs.org. And just read. I mean, they put out a financial report every year because they're required to as a nonprofit, but it shows you what your money is going towards. Yeah. And they are putting out hundreds of dogs into the community every single year. I think there's just shy of 600. I think it's about 585 active graduates, meaning 585 veterans in the U.S. have a dog from American Vet Dogs right now. So, you know, online donations. And if you don't want to make an online donation, you can mail a check. And my email address and phone number are on our website as well. So if people want to get in touch with me, they can do that.
And again, it so often I hear people say, oh, Bill, I'm on a fixed income. I'm retired. If you can afford $2, it's great. Mm-hmm. $2 is $2.
Yeah. Well, we set up, we put a, you know, a jar. There's a couple of restaurants in our area that have been kind enough and said, hey, you know, put up a jar and whatever goes in the jar is yours. There's one restaurant that's taken over $500 for us just because those $1, $2, $5 donations. They make a difference.
And again, you could be saving a veteran's life.
Yep.
I mean, I don't want to cut to being a Debbie Downer, but 22, 23 veterans a day are committing suicide. Now, if a dog will take away the pain, if a dog will take away the nightmares, if a dog will be a companion, that the veteran can, this guy used to talk to his dog, and the dog just like, you know, like he understood.
Yeah. And it's their families, Bill, too.
Yes.
You know, their families will tell you, they come home and they're a little different, and you want them to come back as you remember them. You want them to come back from their service as you remember them. Yes. And it bothers family members when they see that they've changed. And this dog that is gifted to veterans, these dogs that are gifted, they kind of restore that, that sense of familiarity. And it's not just big for the veterans, but for their families, because they get the loved one back that they remember.
Yeah. And it's a process. As I repeat myself, but Jack knows what he's dealing with. I have a good friend. His name is James Clark, AKA Jim Clark. He wears the senior center. He is the veteran service agent. He is a Pittsfield native, West Point graduate, career military officer. And what I think a lot of people don't understand, and Jim and I have tried when I have him on the show a lot, is that being in the military is a way of life. It's not just a job. You just don't go there in the morning, come home. Your whole life is military. And so when it's, you go to a combat zone, the camaraderie, the closest thing I've had for that type of camaraderie was when I was on the police department. Same kind of camaraderie. But when you come home, you get out, everything kind of like falls away. And you don't have the guy you trust with your life. You know, it's just, so where do these dogs come in? I'll tell you, they're the new guy that that they trust with their life. And the more you can do to help that, the better off we'll all be, because they have, is what's that? I've served my time in hell, right? And so what? I'm so supportive of this, and I really want you to be involved. If you can't go, fine. Jack will give you the stuff again before we go off air. Send the check. Do whatever. And again, for my retired friends, believe me, I know. I used to be on a fixed income. Now I'm on a shrinking income. Yep.
I'll say this, Bill. You know, you brought up Jim and his work as a VSO.
Right.
We are extremely fortunate in Massachusetts to have a great system that supports our veterans. And if you talk to VSOs in Massachusetts, they'll tell you that's not true in the other 49 states. Not every state is like that. Not every town has a VSO assigned to it. Right. Not every community has a VSO assigned to them. And, you know, I just did a show with, it's a VSO talk radio. There are two VSOs here in Western Mass who do a radio show that talks about programs that are available to veterans and events that are supporting veteran causes.
Yeah.
It was the VSO from Wilbraham, Jared Sasson, and Ludlow, Eric Segundo. And they said that, you know, that we are so fortunate in Massachusetts to have such a strong support network with the VSO system. But that's not true in every community. And this organization reaches those communities. It reaches communities here in Western Mass, but it reaches communities in all 50 states and veterans who really need it.
And you know, you have to really applaud them, because this isn't a Debbie Downer, but the VA is a bureaucracy in the every sense of the word, a bureaucracy. And if you don't dot I, first I, then that, forget it. Could you get thrown into the spin, I guess. That said, I've never known the VA to be is caring as it is now. And I mean caring. Before you were, you know, someday I'll share with you my first experience at the VA. Jack, when you really, I want to thank you for being involved, bringing this to my attention, because I am an advocate for veterans. Especially the Vietnam guys, I mean, and gals were kind of drifting off now into the other place. But what's been done for veterans today through this, like this organization, American Vet Dogs, it's private people as much as the government. I want to stress that. It's Joe. And I put myself in this group, Joe and Mary Sixpack. They're the people that are carrying a lot of the load for a lot of the disabled, disadvantaged veterans living on. A lot of these people that you make fun of living on the street and things like that, they don't want to be there. But something happened to them when they were in the war or whatever. When I was a kid, there was a fire. My father was a fireman. There was a firefighter. Can't say fireman anymore, firefighter, whose son came back from Korea and lived in the woods. Didn't want to be around people, had a membership in the YMCA, would walk down, buy groceries, had a little cooking stove for himself up in the woods, and shower at the Y a couple, three times a week. But he just wanted to be away from people. That was Korea. Roseanne and I knew a young fellow who unfortunately committed suicide. Same thing. He came back from Iraq, went up in the woods, and stayed there. So anything you can do, a dog could bring that, could be that companion that guy's looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, I don't mean to repeat myself also, but it amazes me how grateful each of these veterans are who graduate from the program.
Yeah.
You know, and they thank us, which I'm like, there's something wrong with this. You're thanking me. But that's how it should be, Bill. That's how it should be. We should be supporting these types of events.
Yeah.
You said it, you know, veteran lunches that happen across this area. You know, we've got great nonprofits here, you know, Warrior Art Room, you know, Springfield Vets. They all play a part in supporting what our veteran community needs. There's, and it's proven that there is, you know, higher rates of, you know, unemployment, higher rates of substance abuse, you know, you name it. And that's exactly. And that's why we're supporting these programs, because it's making sure that they have the resources that not only that they need, but that they have earned and are entitled to. And, that's why we continue to do this.
Well, Jack, again, folks, it's Friday, October the 18th. It's at the Agawam Polish Club. Starts at 5 o'clock. Tickets are $20 a piece. They're going to have all barbecue, buffet barbecue, trivia, music, 50-50 raffles, all kinds of different things. And I am going to do my utmost to be there. I'll have to check with the Polish princess, but if she gives approval, then we'll be there. And of course, it'll help. It's at the Polish Club. But before we go, I have to, and this ties right in with us. Jam for Jake. Jake Gallagher Foundation fundraiser. Black Dog Rev Tour Band Whiskey Treaty. Do this again. Whiskey Treaty Roadshow Misty Blues. It's going to take place on 10/5, October the 5th, 7:30, the Colonial. You may remember Jake was a young Air Force sergeant killed in an off-spree crash. And this is a fundraiser for his wife and his two little kids. One, when he was killed, was 9 days old, I believe. It's going to be there. Anything you can do, you can get tickets, 413-997-4444 or www.berkshiretheatergroup.org. Anything you can do to help out that fundraiser too. That's it's a real tragedy. Lastly, but not leastly, hello, Berkshire Regional Community Center. They're going to have the BSRCC Fall Fun Run Sunday, September the 29th at 9 a.m. For further information, you can call 413-528-2810, extension 33. Jack, I hope this helps. Thank you for taking the time and coming on. Thank you for all you do for that group and for all the vets in your capacity. And it's an honor and a privilege to know you. And I mean that sincerely.
And that's mutual, Bill. I appreciate you having me on just to have this conversation. And I know your personal connection to it. So thank you. And thank you for your service and all that you continue to do to raise awareness for events like ours and the two other events that you just listed off that are all great causes. And we appreciate everything that you do. Thank you.
And as I say to everybody, and Jack, you can share this with your boss. I say this, I know it offends you, some of you, but this is my belief. This is my country, too. God bless. And today, let's help somebody lift their load. You know, each other, that's all that we have. So today, lift somebody else's load. Be well. Take care. Bye, Jack.
Thanks, Bill.
You bet.